Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Winchester Radio this evening. We are going to be discussing not only the season finale of Supernatural Sacrifice, but quite possibly the entire season, and we may spread out to other seasons as well, because we have a group of special guests. Well, so far we've got 2 out of 3, and hoping one of them can work it out and be joining us very soon. We have invited 3 regular Supernatural bloggers to join us tonight in a podcast roundtable. We have Danielle from PossibleByPopCulture.com and Aaron from WineStainedLife.com. Hopefully we'll be having Clarissa from TVOverMind.com, and all of them write very thoughtful, detailed, very respectful, interesting pieces about Supernatural. And we are very glad to have them here. We're going to talk amongst ourselves for a little while, and then we will be taking call-ins. So if anybody's got a question or a thought about Season 8, we're going to be glad to hear it. We'll mention the phone number in a little while. Thank you for listening to us. As always, we are on blogtalkradio.com/Media Boulevard. You can go to winchesterbros.com. and click on the Winchester Radio logo to listen to our podcast. You can subscribe and download through iTunes. You can listen on the Blog Talk Radio site or download through there as well. And you can always go to our Facebook and Twitter, Winchester Bros, at both of those for not only podcast information, but all the Supernatural news that fit the post. So thank you. Thank you very much. Hopefully, this is Clarissa.
Hello.
Clarissa?
Hi.
Clarissa, yay! You made it! Yay!
Yay.
I know. I'm,
welcome.
I called from my phone. I'm waiting for my Skype to come through. So we'll see what happens. I may have to disappear for a minute and come back.
That's
okay. Let's all each introduce ourselves so everybody knows, recognizes each voice and knows who we are by our voices. I'm Becky.
I'm Clarissa.
Becky's the only one here. She's doing all different voices.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Susan.
I'm Clarissa.
And this is Erin.
And Vinny, where are you?
I said I was here. Hi, Zinger.
Oh, I totally missed you there.
Always.
Oh, yeah, you know me. I always put you at the end. I kind of try to ignore you, you know, so.
It doesn't work.
Okay. So, let's get started. You guys, Supernatural, season finale, Sacrifice. What did you think?
I loved it personally. This is Becky. I thought it was great. There's still some things that, you know, it did, still some questions left about the season that it didn't answer. But overall, I thought it was a really, really good finale. The best one we've had in a couple of years. I loved the angels falling and, you know, just, you know, that whole scene was just gorgeous. I love Crowley's, you know, getting his humanity back there. That was great. And then for me, just the start of the whole episode, I thought was just Jared with his, you know, with his performance as Sam there. And it was just, he was just amazing. And I thought it was the best performance Jared had done in all of the 8 years. And that says a lot because he's done some great stuff. So I thought it was great.
I'm actually worried about Jared. I mean, I was very worried about Sam, but I was actually worried about Jared because either that or the makeup and costume and special effects department is even more fantastic than I even think they are, because he looked like a train hit him, and like he'd been through such all this. He'd been through trials. He looked terrible, and if I had a chance, I would have asked him personally did he specifically do anything himself, physically or emotionally, to get to Sam's place in the finale? Because he looked wrecked.
Yeah, he looked a mess. I mean, in a good way. I know he was supposed to, but he looked terrible. Oh, my God, poor thing. It was so bad. Either the effects team or the makeup team did that great of a job, or he really put himself through the ringer to get himself to that point for his character. Absolutely amazing.
I think I was watching videos from the JustinBelloCon, and Jensen mentioned, like, Jared really getting super intense about it. So that had to be a really crazy headspace to get in.
And not take home with you.
Do you guys feel like it's a harder headspace than when he had the demon blood and he had no soul? Like, I feel like the three of those arcs for him, I feel like, were equally wrecking. I think that the difference here is just that, you know, it's season 8, so he's grown as an actor over 8 seasons. So I think this one looks harder, like, because he's able to do more layers. But I feel like as an actor, you have to, I mean, I don't know, I could never do it, but I feel like for an actor, all of those things have to be just as emotionally taxing as each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I agree with that too. And I think what seemed to make it more heartbreaking or something this time was just probably the makeup that they did on him. He just looked so pitiful. You know, just without even saying a word, he broke your heart just by looking at him.
You could really see his cheekbones, and he just looked really thin to me.
And we got the camera angle tricks and the clothing tricks to make him look, that wasted away look. So I think, like, team effort-wise really came together to give us that terribly traumatizing time.
Yeah. Clarissa, you're here, right, and you can hear us okay?
Am I back?
Oh, yeah.
You're back.
can you hear me?
Just making sure that you
we
know
can hear
where
you.
You're on. And we can hear you.
Hi. Okay, so we're talking about the... I love the scene that with the angels. That, like, totally blew my mind. And when I saw it, I was like, you know when Cass is sort of watching them and you can see them fall from the top of the sky? I was like, this is a total Star Wars moment. Like Luke Skywalker, you know, staring out into the whatever on that planet. I swear to God, I know Star Wars better than this. But I thought that was amazing. And I thought that... it's set up next season in a way that really had me, the last time I've been this excited, I guess it seems silly to say, but the season before with Purgatory, like a big, huge moment where it could be a game changer. And I think it'll be even more of a game changer than Purgatory was.
Oh, I agree. I had more questions after this finale than I do, you know, after most of any finales, you know, because I want to know, okay, what is, you know, now that the angels have fallen, what does that mean? Can anybody get back into heaven, you know, at all? Can people, when they die, you know, can souls go to heaven?
My concerns are, number one, only the angels have fallen. All the souls in heaven are still there. So that's one thing.
So my question, who's left in heaven? Like who's... Who is
Metatron,
left? Are there any of the angelic? I mean, we know Metatron is still there, but is anybody? Is the secretarial pool still there, or did he just pass everyone
no
out?
Pool exists. My other thing is, Cassiel mentioned that Jimmy had to let him in, so now we have all these angels without vessels. So are they just? I'm not sure how they're going to work that. Are they just going to take over bodies at will? Can they even do that? How are they going
to? Well, they're
that?
Supposed to ask out of anyone. They have to ask, right? They have to.
That's
get
what I'm
the
saying.
Okay.
They require permission, but do they still have the power to do that now that they're fallen?
Well, maybe they don't have to.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to ask, and like we saw, obviously that's how it worked with Jimmy. But since then, we've seen so many we've seen them do so many not nice things that may, if they have the power to just take over a vessel, I would imagine that they would, just like the demons.
No, I actually meant more maybe they don't need vessels. Maybe the fact that we saw them and we saw their wings stripped from them means that those are their bodies.
Yeah, that's what I was questioning. Like, are they going to manifest as themselves but on a corporeal way on this plane of existence? Like, how is it going to happen?
Yeah, because, you know, Pat said his true form is the size of the Empire State Building.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, we're not going to see that. They don't have that.
Yeah.
Nobody has that.
No, there'd be the size of a street sign, you know, like the height of a
but
sign.
But I mean,
if Abrams is not connected to this project, then we do not have that budget.
I think that the fact that we deliberately saw them look human and saw their wings fall off as if, I mean, maybe it's like a brand new day. Maybe this has never happened before, what it is that he did. And so the rules have changed in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking too, especially since, I mean, the whole thing with Anna falling, you know, she gave up her grace and she fell on purpose. Did she choose to come back, like, as a baby? I mean, I can't imagine
that's
going to be, like, thousands of infants running around. And obviously Castiel is not coming back as an infant. So is it happening because, you know, I mean, that would not be that much fun, let's be honest, with babies everywhere.
Is it because they were cast out?
And is it because of that difference? Why? Because it was Anna's choice. And was part of her choice to come back and live a full human life from start to finish? Or, you know, or was it just because it was her choice and these angels got that choice taken away from them?
And angels weren't human in the first place. They're not human in the first place.
Right, they're not like
so
demons that are...
They have nothing
souls
to go back
they
to.
Are.
So...
Hmm. There's a lot of questions.
The physics of it will kill you.
What's up with Crowley for next season? You know, is he going to stay at this level of almost human now, you know, almost cured? Or is that just going to kind of, you know, fade away and he'll be back to his full-on?
Yeah.
Well, I have a canon issue with what they did, though. The trial was supposed to end with the changeover. And Crowley's kind of stuck in between, but he seems far more cured than not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
Does he, though? Because the way that he sort of glanced, we only saw him for a moment when they started falling. And the way that his, I don't know, there was something about his glance that sort of made me look at him and say, well, what exactly are you now? Like, are you going to go back? Because he didn't complete the ritual, does that mean that, you know, the effects are going to dissipate? Or are you sort of irrevocably changed?
Yeah, like, I wonder if it's a new version of, like, of a free will where he's no longer evil, but that doesn't make him necessarily good.
Yeah. Right. From that moment, when we saw everybody falling and we saw, you know, Sam's arm glow, I kind of felt like it gave him a little bit of the old Crowley back. But I don't necessarily want to see them do that next year because I feel like it would be the same thing again. And I like the idea that the game has changed, that he's had this moment of humanity and that it has to affect him. Whether or not he gets some of his evilness back, he remembers having that humanity back for even, a few minutes. And I would want to see, like, what that does. I mean, he's the king of hell, so how emotionally tortured are you going to be when you realize that what you've done and what you may not want to do?
Mark Sheppard was spectacular in those last scenes of his, I mean, when he was realizing what he had done and how did Sam handle confession because he didn't even know where to start. And when he just quietly offers his neck for the next injection, it just did me in. He was just amazing.
And the tear running down his face is what got me, you know. you know, seeing the king of hell have a, you know, have a tear running down his face, you know, that says something right there.
And when he called Sam, and not Moose.
Right, right.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, he used his name.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll see a power struggle with Crowley next year. The fact that Abaddon's demonness has, you know, gone somewhere else, I think he'll find himself in a lot of trouble. Because if he can't, you know, handle running hell, somebody else mm-hmm. is going to want to do it for sure. And she seems to have something against him, whether it's a personal history that we don't necessarily know about or whether it's, you know, just the fact that she's appalled that some lowly salesman has, you know, ascended to Lucifer's former position.
Yeah. Can we talk though for a second about who takes that form next year? Because we saw, I mean, her body was obviously on fire and, you know, the spear of the demon itself left the body to save itself. What is it going to look like next year? Who can they, I mean, who will they
I'm kind
have?
Of upset about that. Because I loved that actress, and I don't know how I would feel about Abaddon in another body. Could she be as awesome? I mean, I don't know about that.
I
bring the same actress back because they did the same thing with Meg.
Say that again, sorry.
I would like to see them bring the same actress back like they did with Meg. Meg, Kathy Alberto with the Holy Fire, the next time we see her, she's still Rachel Miner. So I really like to see them do that again. Even if she, you know, she's partially burnt for part of it, which would be super creepy.
that would
be very all stitched together.
I think.
Yeah.
Is she
going to be the next big bad next season?
I think it kind of set up Abaddon to be the big bad. I think so. Yeah.
I think that would
I
be
think
great
too.
You know,
wouldn't Metatron really be the big bad?
Well, I think we might see a couple of big bads, maybe not just one.
I would hope
By this season, we had Crowley, and we thought it was Naomi, but it turned out to be Metatron was the ultimate big bad. So, it could be, they could do something like that next year, too.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them do more, of a subplot with the internal issues for Hell, because we also see Crowley calls for help as, I am your king, come get me. Nobody came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
a good point.
And that plays into his later, I just want to be loved. You know, clearly just because you're the one in charge, just because you're the boss doesn't mean anybody likes you. It just means you're the boss.
Yeah, and the minute that he would lose his perch or whatever, 25 people wanted his spot. So I can't imagine that they would want to help him in that situation. Like, that to me felt really real. They're probably all waiting for him to fail so that somebody else can be the leader.
Exactly. So I thought that was really interesting and subtly played that nobody came for him. Nobody came.
And when she came, she came because she knew she had power over him and she could get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
The blood phone, the quick blood phone that he used by biting Sam. Well, one, gross. Two, I wondered, because he bit Sam and he took a mouthful of blood, and I know he didn't swallow most of it, but would that sort of count as another shot of Sam's blood, purified blood?
Oh.
And
swallow it.
I mean, I just wondered.
The issue I always have with Sam, ingestion versus injection.
Oh, swallowing versus injection.
Right.
Yeah, so that plays into that whole issue I have. So,
yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Well,
I always throwback to the blood phone. Like, I don't know, it always seems very nostalgic for me. Like, what a gross thing to get nostalgic about, but...
I thought
season 1 and 2. That's so fantastic. That's really nasty.
The blood phone. The 10th blood phone. And
I figured like he was just desperate to get anybody. And I remember thinking, why didn't he call someone specific? And I thought, well, if it's that fast and that quick and just a small amount of blood, he's probably just desperate. It's like who's ever close by, whoever I can get there that quickly. You know, I thought it was really cool to see it brought up again in that situation. I didn't even think about it.
They were paying attention to canon.
Sometimes.
I try not to like, give them too hard of a time about that, and I always give them the benefit of the doubt that it will be explained later. But that thing about the Grand Canyon is like really bothering me, especially since I think was it Jim Michaels said something about it being explained, or like he couldn't tell us right away like what that was about, or I don't remember what was going on Twitter, but it's kind of bothering me.
Yeah, it always makes me wonder, like, did they realize that, like, did they not realize the mistake until fandom brought to their attention, and then they went, oh, no, yeah, we'll explain that later, yeah,
Right.
And see, that's where it's like Kevin Parks knows this. You know, he's called Parksopedia for a reason. You know, was he not on set that day? You know, why did this not get caught?
that's my question, because it's not just that mistake. It's not just that day that was.
No, that was just the first one that came to mind, but yeah, there's been several.
There the Henry thing.
Metatron
still
going
from
an archangel to not an archangel. There was John's father's. The complete backstory of John just completely rewritten.
It's not so bad to say the men of letters, but like the whole thing about not growing up without a dad, just because I had I'd literally watched that episode earlier that day or the day before, and that thing I was just like, we don't know anything about this. And didn't Carver write that same episode? Or am I wrong about this?
I'm not sure about that.
The in the beginning, somebody wrote that. Wikipedia.
Right. Oh yeah, say hi to your dad or whatever it was.
I don't know.
Yeah, like that thing bugged the hell out of me. And still the guy in front of the house in the bloody premiere.
Oh, that is driving me nuts.
Yes.
I feel like they have said that was explained by it being like Amelia's husband, but I don't really feel like that was enough of an explanation. I want it said specifically out loud.
Why would you be standing outside of the house?
Carter did write that. Writers say that, so I refuse to accept that as canon until it's stated in canon who that was.
Exactly. It should have been stated specifically on the show who in the heck that was standing in front of the house watching Sam leave. And the fact that it was never actually stated on the show, I think that's, you know, a huge hole that they left open. Because
it also feels like a plot point that was dropped because it's set up in a way where you're supposed to really notice that person and feel the impending doom of it.
Right. It's like
who cares about Amelia's husband?
It's like when they showed at the end of Swan Song when they showed Sam standing outside watching Dean and Lisa. You know, it was that same kind of moment. And the fact that we never found out who that was is very disappointing.
And it makes me wonder, I really do wonder this, if there was supposed to be more to Amelia's story, and because of fan reaction to the storyline, they went, no, let's just drop it. That makes me wonder. Because we were constantly told, like, you'll get more, you'll understand, blah, 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 and then nothing. They closed up the storyline.
Until the very end, I was waiting for an explanation for Amelia. Like, there had to
like,
be something
in general,
more. Yeah, yeah.
Like, not explain yourself,
sorry,
Amelia.
Yeah. About
explain
Amelia
your
in general. I was waiting till the very end.
Yeah, we had Leanne Balaban on our podcast, and she's a fantastic woman. She's great. And so we were really kind of having this whole, like, please redeem her character, please make her character make sense, or just something. And nothing, because I'm sorry, if my veterinarian, as a dog owner, was like, oh, yeah, this guy brought in a dog he hit, so I forced him to adopt it even though he's homeless. What? No. No.
There was a lot of disconnects. I mean, I'm sure the actress seems lovely, and There was a lot of disconnect with her character and with the way she was introduced. I mean, I hated her from the very first second she spoke to Sam.
Yes.
Like, hated her. And then I never really understood why Sam liked her or cared so much about what she thought. They didn't ever bridge that gap for me. Like, she was horrible. And then all of a sudden Sam was in love with her. I was like, what?
But I think my head canon about it had a lot to do with, because I got really stuck in her first episodes, because I was trying to, like, explain her, I got really stuck on how much she drank, because her room was constantly filled with liquor bottles, beer bottles. She was buying wine. Like, she seemed like a lush. And then, like, her attitude and all these kind of things that were very parallel to Dean for me.
Yeah.
No, that I was like, okay, maybe Sam's got this compensation thing going. But then, you know, he's not like he's in love with his brother, so then that didn't work. I could understand him finding a friend in her, but getting so, where he tells her what he feels for her, he can't even put into words. Like,
yeah, why?
I didn't find her to be a special woman in any way.
No,
she was like a rebound.
Yeah,
essentially, they were both rebounds for each other, and I just like I'm okay with Sam, you know, finding another girl. It's not like I'm sitting here thinking in my head, oh, you know, Jess is the only one, or, you know, whoever,
yeah,
Sarah, or what have you. But, like, it didn't make any sense, and we didn't really understand it. And so I almost feel like but also with Lisa, like, and I loved Lisa. I actually really liked the character of Lisa, and I just felt like didn't we see what happened here, that it wasn't going to work, unless it was always going to be a temporary thing, because no matter how much they explained, Sam was never going to go back to her. He always had to do the trials, you know, he always had to get back in the game. And so maybe it wasn't dropped because of fan reaction. Maybe it was just not handled 100% well.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that. Again, I keep giving benefit of the doubt. I think that's what it is. Because I also feel like with Lisa, and Becky and I have had this literal argument with each other, like, don't talk to me for a few minutes kind of argument. because my issue with Lisa was, you're a great chick, and I like the character, but there's no way I would let Dean Winchester live with me and my son. No way.
Mm.
I don't care how hot you are. Thank you for saving the world. Yeah. Please go do something yourself.
Okay, well, you can
and
send him to my house.
I kind of feel like Sam has that responsibility to any woman he gets involved with as well, where, yeah, that's all well and good that you lost your family and you've given up hunting, but that doesn't mean that things have given up hunting you.
Mm.
And I find it very irresponsible when these guys go off to have romantic relationships or bring people into their life. And we kind of see what that does to people with Clip Show. We saw that, you know, the people you touch in your life, you leave so vulnerable. And you leave them as targets. And I just think that I don't think it was out of character for Sam to not look for Dean. I thought it was very in character. That doesn't mean I liked it, but I didn't have to like it.
Right.
No, I don't think anybody was supposed to like it. I have mixed feelings about it. I think that we were supposed to accept it, but that doesn't mean that we necessarily had to like it. Because obviously Dean didn't like it, and really of all the people who should have not liked it more than me, more than you, was Dean, right? I mean, that was the dude who had to survive in purgatory for a year or however long it was time down there. So, you know, like, I think you were just supposed to say, okay, yeah, I get it. I don't like it. It sucks what he did. But if Dean can, I guess, forgive him, then we should too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about, like, with Castiel as well. Like, I'm very, on a narrative level, I'm, as a viewer, I'm annoyed that so many of Castiel's moments have been drop balls. Like, him letting Sam out of the panic room, with, you know, the taking down Sam's wall, all those things, they've been dropped. But then I do the same thing. If Sam forgave
Castiel, even though he doesn't know, well, he doesn't know about Tenebrum. If Sam was able to forgive Castiel, then we have to too. And I feel the same way, like you said, with Sam and Dean. If Dean can let it go, so should we.
Yeah. I'm not sure they entirely let things go. I think they compartmentalize a lot, just like a spy does. And they may say, we have bigger things, but I've not forgotten. I may try to understand or try to forget, but I have not forgotten. And we can see that from Dean rattling off his laundry list of things that Sam could confess to, you know, Ruby, Lilith, Lucifer, not looking for him in purgatory. You know, he hasn't let it go. He just moved on because he had to.
But at the same time...
Oh, that pissed me off. That pissed me off so much. Dean standing there and telling Sam all the things that he's done wrong through the years. It's like, look at the man. He's in terrible shape right now. He's getting ready to do a huge thing.
But that's what
Sam
will do. And valid statements on Dean's part. Like, number one, Sam's literally standing there telling him, tell me everything that's wrong with me so I can go confess it. And nothing Dean said was wrong.
What siblings do. They keep score, and they'll say everything is fine and everything is fine, but the minute something else comes up where they will need to bring up something from the past that was apparently forgiven, they're going to know exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you. No one can hurt you the way someone who loves you can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And look how much it hurts Sam, because, you know, the big scene there where he told Dean, you know, why can't he should just go ahead and die, because, you know, Sam has, you know, dropped in for Castiel and for Benny and, you know, and all this stuff. So you can see how much it really hurts Sam. And I don't know if it's the fact that I'm a Sam girl or, you know, or what, but it was like,
no.
And it's like, I love you, Dean. I do. But be nicer to your little brother. That, you know,
but it's no different than when the way Dean felt when Sam dropped him for Ruby.
Yeah.
It's no different. It's not that you can't go out and have an outside connection with a person. It's the kind of connection you're having and the kind of person it is. And that's where they both kind of get at it with each other, and the resentment builds. It's not like Sam's not mad. He's never mad at Kevin. He's never mad at Charlie. And I don't think Dean was really upset at Amelia, at her existence. I think it was the fact that it was also why Sam didn't look for him and why Sam dropped everything. She was just a manifestation of that. But I don't think it was just the fact of Sam having a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I think it was everything that surrounded it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sam doesn't hate Cass either. This is why I don't really get why people take that, you know, confession at face value as if Sam hates Cass when, you know, in the episode preceding it, Sam is saying, go easier on Cass, Dean, you know, he's one of the good guys. As if we should forgive him. So I don't believe, and then in the end, when Benny saved Sam from purgatory, you could see that, you know, had Benny survived, that whole thing, Sam's relationship with Benny, if you will, might have done a complete 180. The point wasn't that Sam was resentful
of these
people.
It's okay with me if you keep that door open. As far as Benny goes,
You know, like, Sam didn't hate these people. He doesn't hate Benny. He doesn't hate Cass. He hates the fact that these are the people that Dean turned to when Sam failed him. And so it's not even the people itself. It's that he hates himself. And so these are the friendships that, in a way, that Dean didn't replace him, but that's what Sam felt. And so he wasn't jealous. It's just that these are examples of... These are the people who represent his sins to his brother.
Exactly.
Because
I completely agree.
I said, he didn't say, oh, and then you turn to a hacker and you turn to the prophet, like, you know, and you have Garth. He didn't list anybody else. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it wasn't, I don't feel like it was just, I don't like you having friends, because it wasn't that. It was,
I don't like that you don't trust me and you have people you do trust. And I think Sam feels like you should be able to trust all of us.
Yeah. Mm. But there was one thing in Sam's speech to Dean, and he says, you know, do you know what it feels like to see your brother, and he was going to finish with a vampire. And I thought, well, Sam, yes, he does, because he had to look at you with Ruby, a demon. So he does understand, and I know how they're both right. They're both right, because it's.
Well, I mean, the thing about the two
of
them is that
Sam's choice again.
Hmm? Nobody understands them but each other, and they don't get that because they're really the only people in the world who have the shared experiences, right? Like Sam didn't know what it was like to go to hell until he went to hell. And then you can spend all day trying to compare their experiences. But in the end, the point is that they're the only ones who know what it's like to betray your brother, even though you don't necessarily think you're doing it or you're doing it for the right reasons or whatever. Mm-hmm. So maybe each of their sins or experiences aren't 100% the same, but they're the only ones who really understand it. And if they would try to see it from each other's perspective, then, you know, then they'd be talking. So God forbid.
But then we'd have no show.
Right.
That would be far too little drama for me.
Which is, you know, going through the season, the whole thing with the closing the gates of hell, where I was like, and then what? What would you do after that?
Oh, no, I mean, because then, I mean, we've seen it, you know, then there's the issue with the angels and them not being as pure and holy and nice as they maybe should be, and so they have to deal with that problem. And how many other tablets are there out there that we just don't even know about yet? You know, they've been so focused on these two, but I'm not convinced that there aren't more.
And there are plenty of monsters that won't go back to hell. I mean, hell is for demons.
Yeah, if someone's going to die, then they're not going to complete any trial where either one of them would have to die at the end. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other conflicts to come.
Yeah, like an angry spirit has never been to hell or heaven. That's the whole
point. Can I ask for a clarification?
Yeah.
Do we remember whether closing the gates of hell just shuts in all the demons that are there at the present time? Or does it also suck every demon who is on Earth back into hell?
I think
they never clarified, and that was an issue for me.
Yeah.
Because then demons, technically Crowley, if he's topside, Abaddon, even had Sam succeeded, let's say, and it didn't require death as a sacrifice or whatever, wouldn't there still be, you know, countless number of demons on the earth that they still have to dispatch in one way or another? It's just that no more could get out if you sent them
not
there.
Not only that, theoretically, even if they killed these four with Ruby's knife, you have to kind of think, okay, well, that's their ultimate death. Their soul would go back to hell. Wait, the gates are closed. So what does that soul do?
Well, I mean, Kevin, when the tablet, he said it would banish all demons off the face of Earth. So, to me, that meant that they would be sucked back if they were currently on Earth. But I guess, technically, they never really clarified that. So,
I forgot about that.
I don't know. I mean, and to be honest, like, that was, I don't know if that was him reading the tablet verbatim or if he was, like, putting it in his own words. Like, they didn't really, and probably to give themselves a little room in the story, they didn't really clarify it 100%. But, I don't know. I would imagine that, like, you have to, like, if you close the gates, and the things that are still walking around, I can't imagine could still walk around. I don't know.
And is it a one-way door? Could they still banish those demons back to hell? I mean, if they're stuck topside, I mean, are they stuck there then forever? Or is there still a way to get rid of them?
I think that because, I mean, theoretically, evil people in the supernatural verse would deserve to go to hell. And, you know, in the way that they've set up this idea of religion. And so you'd have to, because otherwise the world would be overrun. And if God specifically, you know, set up these levers to be pulled in the event that they were, then you'd think that he would think those things through, right?
Right.
You know, unless he got distracted by whatever. I don't know.
Can we talk about the tablet for a second, about the fact that Sam didn't do it? Because, you know, what Laura said in our roundtable, which was if Sam didn't go through with it, then essentially, I mean, technically, you've wasted a season. But I can't imagine that that's the end of it.
I think Carver implied that he was basically that this season was like a reset to set up at least one more season. Actually, I think he said three total seasons. So assuming we get renewed for season 10.
I think a big thing with the tablet and everything we learned about it and I can't think of the one where we first meet Metatron, is we find out from Sam that the trials are purifying him. I think the tablet changed Sam, but with the trials and everything, they literally physically changed him. And so I'm looking forward to finding out what Sam is going to be like, you know, in the ninth season. How is he going to be different? And because I think that was probably the point of the trials, because I never thought they were going to actually close the gates of hell. When we found out, I kept saying, they're not going to do it. It's not going to work. That'll just take out demons out of the storyline, and no, you can't have that. So I think the big point of that was the change on Sam. We just, you know, we'll have to see what that is in the ninth season.
And I brought up that.
And what happens when you don't finish the trials? When you got as far as Sam did, what happens when you don't finish them?
Right.
You just said that Sam said
he reverts. Does he revert like Crowley? Like doesn't finish the trials to become human? So does he slowly revert back to demon and demon king? Does Sam slowly revert back to his state or what?
Sam was the one that said he felt like the trials were purifying him, and I had a problem with the word purifying from the get-go, because I felt like, I don't know how he would know that, like how you would feel that and feel that is what that is. But I think that's a really loaded word to use, because all of the mythology of the show, he's the boy with the demon blood. He's always felt different. He's always been different. He's always made a lot of mistakes. Some of which were because of what was inside of him. And so if the trauma is purifying him, why would it make him so sick? Why wouldn't it be a good thing?
I think they tried to equate it to, like, drug detox, which I didn't like when Buffy did it with Willow, and I wasn't super crazy about it with this either.
Yeah. I don't have an answer, obviously. I just kind of felt like there's got to be something more to it than what he thinks it is, because
we also have Castiel telling him that whatever it is changing Sam, and he implies that it's like on a molecular level. That to me isn't purification, that's mutation.
Right, but in a good way or a bad way?
When Castiel said that it was changing Sam on a molecular level, all I could think about was when Buffy came back and Spike could hit her, and she went to Tara about it, and Tara said it's like a deep molecular suntan or sunburn or whatever. And that's all I kept thinking about. I'm like, oh, so Sam is Buffy now, so Spike could hit Sam. Okay, got it.
Sam has always been Buffy. What show are you watching? Sam's been Buffy since season one.
Now Spike can hit it.
I take umbrage with is, so what happens now? Are Sam and Dean going to go back to the book and go, yo, Kevin, you know how you lost your mom and your life, and we pressured you to do this, and you had that, like, little mini-stroke, and we just completely screwed up your life so that we could do this one thing? Yeah, we changed our mind.
I don't think Kevin can necessarily, you know, I've seen a lot of people talk about this. To Dean, it's not worth Sam dying. To Sam, at that point it was worth him dying, but at the same time I don't genuinely believe that he wanted to sacrifice himself had he, you know, been in his right mind and hadn't been going through withdrawal or whatever it was that he was suffering. So would Kevin go, Sam, you should have done it. You should have died. That should have been the price. And now I resent you for not doing that. Like, would Kevin have been willing to die for that? I know that he lost things and he gave up his life and everything, but he didn't really have control over, you know, the fact that his mother died. He expected that his mother would remain safe. And still, I mean, all we're doing is taking Crowley's word for it at this point. But, you know, is Kevin necessarily in a position to judge? You should have done it. I would have done it. I would have sacrificed myself and, you know, gone whatever in order to do this.
I don't necessarily mean Kevin coming in and being judgmental about it. I just mean, how is that going to affect Kevin as a character? Because clearly he'll still be a character. So how are they going to handle that where, Kevin has wasted a year of his life.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I really feel like all the work that Kevin did and all he went absolutely amounted to nothing for him personally. And, yeah, I mean, I would imagine that he would be kind of angry and judgmental about it. But at the same time, I feel like the audience, the fans, as much as we love Dean and Sam and we don't want them to die to sacrifice themselves, like, I kind of felt let down by the fact that he was both of them actually were selfish and didn't go through with it. Like, you know that the show ends if he dies and he goes through with it. So on, you know, actual level, it can't happen. But from the whole point of these guys save the world, that is what they do. They're the only ones that can really take this on. If you're not willing to sacrifice yourself, then we're all screwed. So,
and I do think that it wasn't so much Sam. Like, in the end, he did make a selfish decision. But we learned in season 5 that he is willing to sacrifice his life. He is.
I thought more on him, though, because Sam said, let's do this. You know, like, I don't think he wanted to sacrifice himself, but I think he saw, like, okay, the greater good is more important than me, because not only am I only one man, but I'm one man who's made a lot of mistakes. But, and so I think it was more on Dean, who, like, he's always been the hunter, we do the job, family business, first, and he was the one that said, no, you're not doing this. I don't know then what that ramification is for his character next season, if he, like, will have a moment of regret where he realizes all of these terrible things are coming after them and they could have at least put a cap on part of it. But I will say, from an audience point of view, I was kind of like, well, if you're not willing to sacrifice yourself now, will you be willing to sacrifice yourself 2 years down the line? Because what could possibly be changed between now and then that hasn't already? And that, to me, has always been how the show had to end, was that they would have to sacrifice themselves for the greater good. And yet, I don't know if it's going to go that way now.
I actually thought that, this may be an unpopular opinion, I thought it showed a big change in Dean, because I know that we say, you know, obviously he doesn't want his brother to die. He sold his soul so that his brother could live. But at the end of season 5, he was willing and did let Sam go to hell as a conscious decision. It wasn't like, oh, it happened, you know, we weren't prepared for it. It was, I know this is coming. I'm going to respect your choice to do this. And now he's like, you know what, we can hunt. And this is a complete turnaround from what it was in the early trial and error, where he was like, no, death is the end result of this, and I accept it. And Sam was like, no, I'll show you another way. And Dean got that way. Now, maybe it was a result of the circumstances, you know, unexpected news, I'm freaking out, I got to stop my brother from doing something we weren't prepared for. But maybe it was that Dean is saying, you know what, we don't have to do this anymore. We can find another way.
And
so, in
that,
a sense,
that
Sam,
into
it's
the men
the
of letters
Sam was
into
saying.
Play. Yeah. Having the men of letters makes sense in that context because, like Dean says, with everything we've learned and all the resources we have now, he is basically saying we don't have to keep throwing ourselves into the fire.
Mm. I mean, maybe one day they have to at the end, like what Danielle said, if that's the only end that the show could ever have, you know, maybe it's, they do it together. It's a Thelma and Louise sort of thing, and the poor car goes off the cliff, and then we're happy because the car goes up to car heaven with them. But, you know, like...
God, please don't put that into the universe. I don't want that to be the ending.
Until then, maybe it's that they're like, you know what? We don't have to do this anymore. There's another way. Sam taught me this in that episode, and now I believe it.
I just feel like because of everything that we've known and seen so far, that maybe they're at a point now where they're willing to try another way, but I just don't feel like any other way will work. And so I feel like it's almost taking a back step for the story as kind of like that hail, like that like 11th hour, we're, you know, bargaining tool. Like we're going to try something else and hope it works so that we don't have to do this. But I feel like it's going to have to come back full circle, and that they will end up back where they started, it's with a tablet and a trial or another method. I mean, as long as the stories are interesting getting us there, then I don't really care that it's a repetition, but I just feel like there was a lot in season 8 that felt very repetitive. So I kind of, when it ended on that note, and it was a change for Dean, but it felt like it was just going to start a cycle of things that weren't going to work, I was a little bit bummed.
Unless it's totally different now.
I agree.
Unless, you know, now that they have the knowledge that they do, and maybe if Kevin gets back to work and fully decodes, like, why didn't, what, was it that Kevin didn't have access to that other half of the demon tablet? He decoded the third trial, but he hadn't gotten to the part, theoretically, that, about the death?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there could be something on there that, like, is another way, but... I also, like, we were just talking about Kevin, like, I don't know, I feel like there's going to, like, the beginning of season 9, I feel like is going to be a lot of, and I don't want to do this, and so it's a lot of all this stuff taking a step back to get.
Well, yeah, we kind of already saw that in the finale, you know, he was drinking, you know, some kind of, you know, pretty big alcohol, you know, there, and sitting back and saying, you know, I'm not going to do it, you told me I was out, I'm out. And he doesn't do it until Castiel threatens him, you know. So,
well, at the very end, he's on his way out of the bunker. He's got his backpack over his shoulder.
Yeah,
he's headed out. And the only thing that stopped him was all the sensors, all the electronics in the Men of Letters bunker started to go crazy. One assumes by the falling angels, which makes me wonder how much angel information did the Men of Letters even have if they had any, or is it just the fact that it's some kind of different extra spiritual activity that sets off these sensors, or is it just?
I had a question about that too, as far as what exactly was setting off those alarms. Hopefully, they'll explain that, like at the very beginning.
Okay. Hold on. What if the death wasn't true? How do we know that A, Naomi didn't lie to accomplish something, or B, how do we know that Metatron didn't plant that idea in her head to separate Cass from Dean so that he could get Cass to do his spell? How do we know that that's the answer?
We don't.
Good question.
So it could be that Metatron had a plan that, because didn't Naomi say, I saw this in his head? And so she went off and got distracted. And then it served the purpose of separating Cass and Dean, and it got Cass up to heaven. And, you know, maybe all of this was Metatron's plan. We don't know that Sam necessarily would have died. I mean, I hope they address that.
I don't know how important Metatron's going to be in the beginning part of next season. So, I mean, you would hope that they would address that, but it could be a big card that they don't want to play right away.
It's going to be,
I have a feeling that season 9 is going to pick up right where 8 left off.
I mean, I feel like so.
Because didn't Misha make a comment at a con that he'd already filmed a little bit of season 1? I mean, of
episode one, something like that.
But yeah,
so
sometimes
maybe they're going to show it at Comic-Con or something.
I mean, sometimes they just, if you know something is coming and you, like, have the setup, you just shoot ahead.
Yeah, so that you don't have to redo the same, you don't have to make the continuity
well,
match.
Well, because I would assume that the tablets have to come back into play because we're going to have to, the Angel tablet, right? We know that those trials that Metatron came up with are fake. So,
yeah. Yeah, Kevin is not done. He has another tablet to read.
Yeah.
He has
and
to read
are there
the right
angel
trials.
Are there angel trials? Because Metatron made them up so he could actually work on a spell. But are there angel trials in the first place?
No, I feel like there have to be. Like, if it's the whole balance thing. If there's,
right.
You get to close the gates of hell, you get to close the gates of
Leviathan trial. Yeah, but like with the Leviathan tablet, there wasn't particularly trials.
You're back on, by the way.
But I don't know. I personally feel like there is a tablet for every.
Oh, I agree too. That's why, you know, when I think it was Torn and Frayed where they learned that there's an angel tablet, and every viewer collectively went, duh.
I feel like there has to be a human tablet. Like, why wouldn't there be? We've created so many horrible things. Maybe we're not as bad as demons, but we're not great. Like, so who's to say that that doesn't come into play, you know, as well? As the, like, well, maybe they're making great progress in one area. But then they realize.
But would there have to be human tablets? I mean, because I kind of feel like the tablets were God's way, like God's gift to the humans. Like, if these things that existed before you get out of hand, you have a way of shutting that whole thing down.
Wait, I'm sorry.
The earth is for humans.
I think that's giving God a lot of credit. And I feel like God within the show doesn't deserve that kind of credit because we would have no show with a good God. So I don't know. I mean, I know that's what they've said, but I don't know that that's all that is there to it. You know, there might just be more information that people are unaware of or that
Clarissa, can you hear us? Clarissa, can you hear us?
Okay.
Yay,
okay.
Yeah. Just a second.
Can I keep moving, Clarissa?
I know.
I'm hesitant to think that there's a human tablet. I feel like there would be, but not in the same capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what.
Like, how do we banish humans? Like, I don't think it'd be that, but I think it might be some kind of like why I created humans kind of tablet, but not so much as and this is how you put them back in the box if you need to. I don't really think it's particularly like that, but. I'd be surprised if there's not, you know, there's got to be some kind of written.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it would just be a different sort of tablet. Because it just wouldn't
I'm just looking forward to learning more about the angel tablets and what Dean's involvement in that will be. I mean, I think it was really poetic that Sam had a part and who he ended up taking, you know, the lead role in, like, the trials for closing the gates of hell, and I think that you know, it made sense, him being Lucifer's vessel and all that. And I'm really excited to see what that means for Dean with respect to the actual angel trials, not Metatron's, like, joke of a trial, but what, you know.
Do you think the tablet could possibly have on there information on how to open it back up, open heaven back up so the angels could go back home? And to do that, Dean will have to do that?
I feel like because of the way that season 8 ended, that would be way too convenient. I don't know.
How do you? I think that's
something the boys are going to have to figure out on their own as far as getting all of the fallen angels back into heaven. You know, I have this feeling that, you know, a lot of their, like, monsters of the week or whatever next year are going to be angels on earth being the dicks that we know them to be. I mean, they're going to have to deal with that. And I think that that's something the boys are really going to have to take on as, like, a main project in season 9 is getting those fallen angels back into heaven and taking Metatron on and getting him out of that seat.
We know Castiel lost his grace, so he's human now. But do the other angels, do they still have all their angel powers? Because they didn't lose their grace, right? So they should all still be all powerful.
I don't know that they said whether or not what happened to the other angels' grace. And that was one of the questions that I had in my... So now I recap, it's like, does Metatron just, like, have a closet of grace up there? And that's a lot of power to hold.
That's the thing. I think part of the reason that we don't know is because I think we're supposed to find out when Dean and Sam figure it out. You know, like, they were in this moment of shock. And I think that as they go next season trying to fight these angels that are doing geekish things, I mean, that's something that they're going to have to figure out. Maybe some of them have their grace, maybe some of them don't. I would imagine if I were Metatron, they all fall without their grace because...
He would want that power for himself.
Even just as far back as seeing Anna without her grace, I can't imagine you would... It's so powerful. I don't know why you would let them keep it, you know? And
right, absolutely.
So if they're walking around on Earth without it and they're doing dickish things, like, it's also a different... process to take them down than it is if they're angels, you know. So I think that, like, kind of opens the door for really interesting cases of the week. But my concern is that the case of the week becomes too much about, like, the version of the angel are we fighting this week, and it loses a little bit of the overarching mythology. Because I did feel like this season. The end of the season, there were so many Case of the Week filler episodes at the end of the season, and I'm like, do you guys not know you have a ton of stuff to answer from the big picture that you're just not doing? And it upsets me every year. I always feel like there's too many filler episodes at the end of the season. I'm like, they're good episodes, but at the same time, have to address a lot of the big questions.
I completely agree with that, and I also feel like there was a lack of cohesion with this season.
Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with the number of standalones that existed, and then it would kind of be like, oh, here's a little bit of lesson for you to learn that connects you to the overall season arc, but only because we're forcing it in.
Well, and not only that, but I felt like the episodes that did address, like, the overall arc, they would try to squeeze way, way too much into one episode.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been spread out. Had they taken the time and done it slowly and explained it better and, like, really, really put some, you know, extra oomph into it, it would have come out perfectly and beautifully. But because they would try to squeeze so much time or so many things into 42 minutes, it came out terrible and confusing, and it was too much and too fast. And I think maybe they took away some of those cases of the week and then used those arc, you know, those mythology episodes and just kind of spread them out, even just a little bit, they would have turned out so much better. And I think they need to be wary of that next season.
I do think Clip Show and Sacrifice should have easily been 4 to 6 episodes separately.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was going to say. Like, I feel like the concept of Clip Show, of Crowley finally saying, you know what, I'm going to go after all these people, something that I think he should have done a long time ago, I thought that could have started at the end of an earlier episode, and either Dean and Sam didn't realize what was happening, or they didn't take it too seriously right away. That was a lot in that episode, and out of the people that he went after, we didn't see anything second person, because there was no time. Granted, she wasn't that special to them on the, you know, on scale. But at the same time, I just feel like it was a nasty, you know. If you're breaking down to school and you're doing a story that has great emotional impact for the Winchesters but for the fans, do it right, you know, and explore. I said for a long time I want to see what's happened to people who survived the apocalypse and who didn't. And I just felt like Sarah was obviously the one who was most important, and I thought she got a great moment, but at the same time, I just felt like the entire episode was so rushed. And then to wrap it up with the episode where Crowley went after three people, I don't know, I just felt like it wasn't, it could have.
I legitimately felt like Clip Show did not feel like a penultimate episode, and I feel like Sacrifice did feel like the episode we get before a finale. It didn't feel like, oh, that's a finale. It felt like, well, no, what about next week? Oh, wait, that's it? Oh.
I would have to disagree with you on
like massive changes.
I would disagree about Sacrifice not feeling like a finale. I thought it did. I thought it had the big epicness of a finale.
I feel like the last 10 minutes felt like a finale. Only the last 10 minutes. I don't feel like the entire episode felt like a finale.
I felt like the whole thing felt like a finale. You know, me personally, I felt that way. Now, Clip Show, which we talked about during our podcast for Clip Show, I had a lot of problems. I enjoyed the episode, but I had problems with who they chose to bring back. But other than that, I thought it was a good episode. The last 10 minutes were huge. But with Sacrifice, I thought it was huge. It was epic. There have been some season finales that have absolutely bored me to tears, and I'm like, seriously, that's it? But this one I thought was great and epic, like it should be, and I enjoyed all of it.
I mean, I do think like, we got so used to, you know, the last couple of years, every season finale, Dean and Sam were separated by huge obstacles. Last year, Dean didn't even, like, he had no idea where he even was, and he was alone. I think that because this season was meant to always be part of multi-year arc, ending where they ended felt a little smaller because you know they're going to pick up immediately with it. And so, yeah, there's this massive change of the angels falling, but you know that you know a lot more about what's going to happen in season 9 than I feel like we knew about season 8 when season 7 ended, for example. I think that like that's partially why it feels smaller. And it's an easier show. I will say that I do expect, especially because the show gave us in season 5 that, you know, the huge home out, like I do feel like we come to expect bigger and badder every season finale, whether you're comparing it to its previous one or to other season finales of action shows that are currently on the air. And I'm not going to get into it since we're not, you know, it's not a podcast for other shows, but I think if you're comparing it, I definitely don't think it held up the way that some of the other ones held up. But I think if you look at it by itself as a finale, it had a lot of the key moments that you needed. It had that, you know, the brother discussion that we already talked about that was pretty much all season coming, and you know, and this massive change with the angels and the answers that Netizen was screwing with everybody, and that, you know, he has this plan. And I think there's enough there that it sustains itself, but I don't think that, like, you know, wait for the next season is going to be as crazy as it has been, just because we kind of already put some of the pieces together ourselves.
Susan, should we, we've talked for about an hour, should we also ask if anybody wants to call in and give us a question?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, if anybody is listening live and would like to call in and ask us a question or just want to make a comment about the finale or the season, here's the number, 347-205-9801. Give us a call.
I don't know which one of you said it. Was saying it. Sorry, everybody keeps talking over each other. But the second half of the episode, the last quarter of the episode, definitely felt a lot more finale-ish. I mean, at least the first like 15 minutes, I'm like, is this a finale? Do I have the dates right? It felt a little slow to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was so nervous. I was shaking nervous going into it, and then I kind of felt like at the very beginning, I mean, at least for, like, the first half, I'm like, oh, I was really worried for nothing. The last 15 minutes or whatever were just balls to the wall amazing, but got a really slow start, and I guess I kind of expected that same intensity for the full 42 minutes or whatever.
I think there's some precedent for that, though. Like, if you think back to something like Lucifer Rising, when, you know, Dean was stuck in that room for a huge part of that episode and just, you know, waiting, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And Sam was off sort of slowly building up to the end of it. I mean, you know, if you want to compare it to something like All Hell Breaks Loose, because in a way I felt like it wasn't, Clip Show and Sacrifice weren't like a legit two-part episode, but I felt like they led really nicely one into the other. Maybe not the way that something like All Hell Breaks Loose, where, you know, part one felt like it was that slow buildup and part two was all craziness. But I think there's precedent for, you know, a little bit of that taking a little bit of time to get the finale started. And I think Lucifer Rising is probably, which is a great mm-hmm. episode. And at the same time, you know,
no,
it was the last 10, 15 minutes that really counted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of the first 10 minutes of the finale, two things. One, how does Jody not know about Crowley? Like, how have the boys
the
not
you.
Ever...
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm glad it's here again, but yeah.
Number two, do we know if she's okay? I mean,
oh my gosh,
was that confirmed?
Be okay.
It's driving me crazy.
I'll say that it, I mean, it's
not even
Kim
Rhodes
like,
knows.
But I would hope that she didn't, because I would hope that they would be able to use her again.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, like Crowley, we never, you know. Dean paused before he gave Crowley what he wanted, and Crowley didn't extinguish that flame before we saw movement drain from her. So I don't know. I mean, I think the ballsier move is to kill her, and they don't even realize she's dead. But I don't know. I don't know if they would do that.
I want her to be okay. She's a favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I love her. Character as an actor, I just mean like from a storytelling standpoint, like
right. Oh no,
that's what I was, you know, talking about Clipshow. Like those are the people that he should have been going after, not like the random that they saved in season one that they barely remember.
Jenny Klein from season 7. Yes, there's no reason to go after Jenny Klein.
No, she was so much like
anything.
No.
Like,
I mean,
after was that. That's great about Tommy and Jenny Klein all, but why at no point did Dean go, oh, my God, Cassie? No?
Yeah.
No concern for her?
Oh.
Okay, good to know. Martin's
oh, my God,
right. Lisa. No, we're not going to worry about Lisa either. Okay. All right.
Well, okay, so I've said that about Lisa since he had Cass wipe her memory, because she may not hurt because she doesn't remember Dean, but all the things
that doesn't mean the monsters don't remember her.
That's what I'm
saying. Oh, now we have a great memory of Lisa.
And to me, that's worse, because if I remember Dean, then I also remember everything Dean taught me if something comes for me. But right now, she's
exactly.
just sitting back. So
I have said that probably 100 times to, like, 1,000 different people, that
I
think
like,
what he did to her was worse. Like,
right.
No, she has no way of protecting herself. If something
right.
does come
mm-hmm.
up, she doesn't know to call Dean. Like, how could you take away all of her weapons from her? Because
yeah.
surely Crowley remembers her. He kept her captive for however many days.
Exactly. And,
I mean,
and that's why I kind of thought that at the end of the season, when Crowley started going after people, that he might go after Amelia and Lisa. But they didn't do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's a car
and
that
then.
They're holding, maybe, like,
well,
what if he you know,
at first,
I mean,
when they mentioned Jenny Klein, I'm like, who? Oh, right.
That's
yeah.
true.
So,
we all did. We
and
all
that's,
did.
I mean, I don't know. I
so,
you know.
We dissected
her
very well a couple weeks ago.
I can't believe that we're into the podcast, an hour and 12 minutes, and no one has mentioned how, obviously, the most important thing about season 8 was how awesome Sam's hair was. I mean, come on.
I
we
know.
We were waiting for
Sam
you, Becky.
Hair report. I mean, we made it an annual podcast discussion point. This was an annual Sam Winchester hair report, and it was still beautiful and glorious. And that's why we said in the first part of the season we thought maybe Sam's flashbacks to Amelia weren't real, because his hair was so perfect. You know, and the wind would be just
that would be your first indication that they were supernatural in nature.
Yes. Sam's hair was glorious, and hopefully it will stay long for next season as well.
Oh, my God. Sam was, his hair was perfect and beautiful all season long. I preferred it really
mm-hmm.
long, like I said at the beginning. He got the trim towards the end, which is okay, and he was still just so pretty. And I just have to say, that was my favorite part of the whole season, was Sam's beautiful hair.
It was gorgeous.
Nothing else happened.
You know,
yeah,
we're
nothing
like
else happened.
Hair.
Exactly. As long as Sam had clean hair, the episode was good for me. So
why can't we talk about Dean's hair?
His hair never changes.
No.
Our rule is we talk about Sam's hair and Dean's cheekbones. That's the rule. Sam's hair, Dean's cheekbones.
I'm just seeing an equal opportunity.
Dean has never been sexier than he was when he was in Purgatory. Let's go a little to the shallow side. You know, we've talked about Sam's hair. Now let's talk about Dean's sexiness in Purgatory. He was hot in Purgatory with all the mud and the dirt and he was hot.
Mm-hmm. Mud, dirt, blood, sweat.
That was the sexiest filth I have ever seen on any human ever in my life. Oh man. If my husband came home looking like that, I'd be like, get in the shower. But nope, Dean can get away with it. Mm-hmm. Yep. That was fantastic.
Well, and then there's the, you gotta, I always think it's really funny, like, Dean was in Purgatory and he was filthy. Sam went to Purgatory and his hair stayed, even his hair stayed perfect.
I only stepped outside
without getting frizzy, and you went to Purgatory and came back with perfect hair? No.
He went to Purgatory.
Sam went to hell and made three turns and found Bobby. Like,
thank you.
I have such an issue with that. Like, it was so easy for him to get in and out of hell and in and out of Purgatory. How did he get into the spell that they gave him?
Yeah, and how could there be a back door that Crowley didn't know about? You know, like a portal, like what?
I think we should never speak of that again.
I think we should just
pretend it didn't happen.
It took 7 years to memorize exorcism, but Sam got this spell in 30 seconds.
That was one of the episodes that should have been. Taxi Driver was one of the episodes that should have been three episodes. It kind of bothered me.
I agree.
I mean, it was way too much, too fast.
Yeah, we need
it should have been more of a struggle. It really should have been drawn out a little bit longer. I think it would have had much more of an emotional impact had it been, but it felt too rushed. Mm-hmm. There wasn't even time to get emotional about Bobby. It was like, hi, Bobby. Okay, bye, Bobby. Like, it was too fast.
You know, Sam's going to Purgatory and, like, to let it sink in what his brother went through for a year, we didn't have that moment at all. I think, like, the last two trials, like, even with Crowley, having the moment beforehand where they just conveniently found these videotapes and their Men of Letters bunkers that told them exactly what to do, like, that felt rushed and convenient for me, too. Like, I would have rather seen them struggle to figure it out with Crowley, like, heckling them than see them watch this tape and then know exactly what to do because we're being told something before we're, like, seeing it in action. I don't know. I think it felt like the last two trials, because I was already suspicious about the Angel trials, I was suspicious about the other trials. I was like, well, maybe these aren't right either. Maybe they decoded wrong or, I don't know. It just didn't feel like it was enough. Like if they had succeeded at the end of it, it almost didn't feel like they went through that much to succeed, which sounds ridiculous because he went to hell and back, but I don't know.
Well, it's because it was so rushed.
That's what I mean.
And for us as viewers at this point, if you go to hell, like, you better give us something. Hell, like, you've done that already, so really give us something. Give us something meaty for it rather than, I walked in, found Bobby, convinced him I was really mean, we fought our way out, we're back, it's been 10 minutes, what's up?
The way they did help, I mean, the way that they shot it, it looked really creepy and great, but I think it would have had a scarier impact. We would have felt Sam's fear more had we lingered there a little bit longer, like let him run into some people that he's put there before, former demons, whatever. Like, I think that would have been great, but it was way too quick and easy.
Yeah, and I mean, how was one small part of that trial, like, when you think about it. So, like you guys said, it would have had to be, I feel like, stretched out over more than one episode, which they haven't been doing. They really haven't been doing two-part episodes the way that they used to. And they never did it often, but, you know, I always feel a little bit better when I see part one and part two, even if it's just as a finale, because I know, like, you're going to take your time and you're going to really earn these moments, and then we're really going to feel satisfied.
Agreed. They should they should listen to this and then keep that in mind when they're getting ready for season 9.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, my opinions are the most important.
We can tweet them all this link and say, yeah, you guys are just getting started, so there's still time.
To be honest with you, like, it's very possible that season 9 will start with a part 1 and part 2 here. I mean, who knows? So, like, I kind of feel like the season finale of season 8 is the part 1 and the part 2 is the premiere because, like we've already talked about, they obviously have to pick up pretty immediately. But I would want them to keep that thread. I wouldn't want to see a regression into, like, Case of the Week if they've already started really strong with mythology, you know, the Kevin decoding the tablets. And I don't know.
There were parts when the Cases of the Week made sense to place where they were placed. Like, the boys are spinning their wheels. They're waiting on Kevin to translate, so on and so forth. And in those cases, it made sense to have, like, a Case of the Week. You know, and any time, like, Charlie showed up and they would rush to her, you know, to help her, that made sense, too, because that's what they would do.
But
some of the other ones were displaced really badly, I think.
I mean, I thought Charlie's episodes were so fun this year. I really liked both of them. But I will say that, like, if they were to step back and look at the grand scheme of things to finish the mythology arc, you will never have to, in theory, if they had were able to carry out those trials and succeed, they wouldn't have had to worry about saving a random case of a person during a case of the week because those things would be gone. So I get from a story point why, if you're spinning your wheels waiting for Kevin, you're going to go help whoever you can. But at the same time, like, I feel like they need to think more big picture as characters than they sometimes do. Like, they get...
Even, like, I forget who was saying, every time we did get a trial, it was very, like, even the initial, the Hellhound, Trial and Error, the episode isn't about the trial at all. It really isn't. It's tacked on at the end. And yes, the premise is we went there because we're trying to complete this trial, but in reality, it has nothing to do with it except the end result of it. It's still, to me, a Monster of the Week kind of episode. And then you have, like, 4 or 5 episodes between that and the next trial, when we're getting down to the 11th hour. So you're doing the last two trials really rushed, in my opinion. And I don't feel like it was focused enough on the trials. It was focused more on, let's do all this, and then, oh, yeah, trial, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like there was so much build-up to decoding the trial that was part of it, too. Like, it took Kevin so much work to figure out what it even was. But then when they figured out what it was, they were able to complete it perfectly. And I was like, well, I know you guys.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Do that. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I'm like, they're super hunters. And obviously, like, the normal, like, you or I could not complete the trial as quickly as they did. But I think it was just the imbalance of the way, you know, the way that it was told in the story that was really jarring. Because, you know, you're waiting, and then it doesn't feel like this massive thing.
Yeah, just for them to do their initial, what they were going to do as a trial run for the demon hearing, it was like, oh, that's what we have to do? Awesome. Hey, you know what we have? We have a cut-up demon. It was that convenient.
Yeah.
It was almost like there was no, once they figured out what it had to be, there was no work, it felt like.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to see, like we keep saying, I would have loved to see Clip Show a separate episode for Crowley hunting down their former victim, and a completely separate episode for the trial and Abaddon and all of that. And I think not only would it have worked better narratively, but I think the storyline and the character of Abaddon deserved better in that episode.
Well, but I also think that's just having foresight, and I feel like, you know, they maybe came up with that idea kind of last minute with... No, I get it. You don't necessarily come up with your best ideas right away, but I think it would have been stronger if, like you just said, you know, if he was doing it starting in episode 4, he was doing it and they didn't know. I don't want to believe that element is over. Like, I really want to believe that next season, maybe the Angels are doing something very similar. Because there's no pool of people that you can pull from, and if you're trying to get under their skin in any capacity or distract them even from the bigger picture, we're talking about how they go off and they save people instead of, like, focusing on the big stuff. Like, if they're getting really down to the wire close to something, you need to distract them and get them off the trail. You go after Lisa or Amelia or Missouri or whoever, you know, and bring some of those people back. You can still keep that thread going. Like, the fact that they introduced it late in season 8 doesn't mean it can't go through season 9. It probably can't go with Crowley doing it because we've talked about how he's changed, but I don't know. I really like that idea, and I'm also just dark and twisted. But I want to see a lot of those people return, so I would hope that, like, that's such a great motivator. Why not keep it going?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I know there are certain characters I don't want to see again, and I won't get into that because it's very controversial.
Yeah. There's so many of them to choose from. Like, yeah, there's always going to be somebody that we're just, like, meh about. But at the same time, like, there's so many great ones that we haven't seen that maybe they don't need to be long, drawn-out moments like Sarah's was, but they could just be, like, callbacks, you know, for everybody. Like, oh, remember her? Like, and bring back the memories for you without having to, you know, have a whole monologue for the character about, like, what she's been up to. But it's a way to, like, bring it all full circle and tie it all together.
Speaking of characters that need to come back and that could actually have a huge part in the mythology, and I cannot say this enough, where the hell is Chuck?
Seriously.
What is going on with Chuck? Like, I cannot repeat myself often enough. I need to know what is happening with Chuck. And I think that he could be a huge part of the mythology.
Chuck is gone.
What's going on?
Are we in
agreement
with him? He's out.
So, Becky, here's our cue. What about Adam?
Yes! I say that every week.
Okay. We don't need to see Adam again. I just need Adam to be okay. All right?
Yes,
I don't think it's too much to ask for a throwaway line saved him from hell and brought him to heaven. Fine.
Yes.
Okay? Because the guy got majorly screwed. And it paid
I love you.
Off.
Yes, exactly. I love you. That's what I need. I need closure for Adam. I need them to remember.
You.
Oh, yeah. We have another brother. Where is he? Oh, damn. We forgot him in hell. You know? The fact that he's in hell, he's their brother, he's a Winchester, and they just, you know, let him go.
Dean didn't even go. Dean didn't go, oh, hey, did you see Adam down in hell? Nothing, right? You know?
Yeah.
Seriously. Just bring that guy somewhere else.
Right, when Sam was down
Sam couldn't have looked around for him while he was there for 15 minutes.
Right, I mean, you know, Bobby was right there. Who knows? You know, Adam could have been in the next cell or something. We don't know. And, you know, he didn't even try to look. And, oh, that just bugs me so much. Adam's going freaking hell. It's like, you know, somebody say, you know, what, you know, talk to one of these angels. Oh, yeah, it's fine. We saved him 6 months ago or something, you know. Then I'll be fine. But until then, it's going to drive me crazy.
Holy crap, Becky.
Why don't
I know. It drives me crazy.
You're even
on
crazier
and
about
on.
This than I am.
Okay,
you
go on and on.
Before Becky goes on her next, you know, 20-minute tirade. But speaking of Chuck, like,
no, but why don't you put this back? Who's to say look, they referenced him being in hell, but, like, what if somehow he did get out and he's one of the fallen angels now?
Like, how did he get out, Danielle? How did he get out?
Adam isn't just in a regular hell. He's in Lucifer's cage. So you have to think Adam gets out and somehow is Lucifer then, like, is there a danger of him being out on the loose and Michael too? I mean, you have to think about that as well.
Here's the thing. Yeah, maybe Metatron, I don't know. I'm spitballing here because you all love him so much, and I personally don't see it. But, okay, well, a lot of you love
him.
I'm very passionate.
Don't want him to be dead in hell. You know, like, it's not like I want the guy to come back. I just think that he got screwed because of who his dad was, and it totally wasn't fair. And, like, did Cass not have two
flat
hands when he went to rest Sam? Why didn't he rescue Adam, too?
No, I just feel like that's really poetic, though, that, like, you get screwed because of who your family is. Like, I feel like Dean and Sam kind of got screwed because of who their family was, too. Like, they could be normal people. We wouldn't want to watch a show about them. They might not be all that interesting. They might not be close brothers. But, like, if you're thinking real-world scenario, like, they don't have the best life. So, I don't know. But, like, maybe, who knows, maybe Metatron can go pluck him from hell to screw with Dean and Sam, as we were talking about those characters coming back and, you know, distracting them by them needing to save their loved ones or whatever. Maybe, I don't know, look, they got the grandfather out of hell, and that maybe they shouldn't have, but they brought him back.
I hate that guy.
That right there is why I think that the Adam thing needs to be dropped. Like, you have to just assume, yeah, you just have to go with the idea that Adam's a lost cause, because bringing him back, then what? Or even... I don't feel like there's a need to mention him. My closure is that he's in the cage. That's my closure.
I'm not saying I want this to happen. I'm just saying, like, they could do that if they wanted to. I just don't think that they necessarily want to. Because they've done, you know, like I said, like, before with certain characters. Like, so.
Yeah, I think it's just like a kind of overthinking to, like, well, but I need closure. That is the closure.
Here,
yeah,
you know,
your closure.
Yeah.
That's not my closure. What about my closure?
Exactly.
Sure, you want to make sure he's okay. That's not the same thing.
I feel like
there is no closure required. I feel like the closure exists for me as a viewer.
Whatever.
The closure exists.
Okay. Next time you're stuck in hell, and then you can all think of that as your closure.
Okay.
I'm totally okay with that. Because if I'm stuck in hell, you better come look for me. Don't you dare take us to some
hell. No, that's our closure. Our closure is that you're in hell. That's all, you know, that's all we need to know. We don't need to worry about you. That's it. You're done. Sorry.
Well, I mean, that's closure. You have your answer. You might not feel
good
about it.
I've never felt a really strong need for closure with Adam. And maybe it's because the episode we meet Adam in, we go the whole episode and then we find out we never actually met Adam.
Yeah.
And when we actually did meet him, he was such a tool to his brother.
Exactly. I don't care if you're a Winchester or not. I don't care that you're their half-brother. I don't care that you're a Winchester. I don't care. I think that character should have never existed. And
yeah,
I'm glad that we don't talk about him.
No, I had to deal with just my mom and me, and I had to go to school, and I had to sleep in a warm bed with just my mom and me. And I'm like, do you have any idea what your brothers have been through their entire lives? Quit whining.
Exactly.
Why are you so anti-Adam? Where's
all
the hostility coming from for you people?
God,
he's
just a young kid. Just cut us a slack. Jeez, oh, Pete, you people are done. You're just wrong. You're just wrong.
No.
You're just wrong.
You're also judging your own toolness. I'm sorry.
All right. Do we want closure on Chuck? Let's bring this back. Do we want closure on poor Chuck? Who is probably God.
I need closure on Chuck because I feel like Cass being like, he must be dead, and the boys being like, okay, is not closure. That's ridiculous.
Chuck
is God.
The only thing I'm okay with the fact that they've left the Chuck being open this long is that in heaven, God is missing as well. So you can't have closure on Chuck because that means that, that's already the canon that Chuck is God. So we can't get closure on him right now without him showing back up somewhere as God, I feel.
And that's the thing, like, I don't know that I do want to see him come back that way.
I don't know that I've ever thought of Chuck as God.
When you put God in your story in a way that you know that is what he is. I mean, they've had discussions about the whole, you know, how can you let things happen? And then if you have to see him let things happen, I don't know. I don't know that I want the show to do that.
I have a feeling that we won't see Rob Benedict on the show again until it's the finale, the very end. And he shows up as God, and
you know, tells Sam Dean, yeah, it's me, you know, and explains things to him.
I would love him to show up, like, back in his bathrobe, like, typing out, like, you know, how Sam and Dean have died, and then, like, you know, that's the end.
Right.
Yeah, that would be
that's
cool.
How it's going to end. I mean, obviously, we all know that.
That would be an ending I would be comfortable with.
I would be okay with
you're
that.
Not dying at
that.
The end. La, 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 I can't hear you. Sam and Dean are not dying.
If they don't die, how does the show end?
I think they have
for
to
me,
die,
for
but
me,
I don't
that
think
finally,
that it has to be
finally,
terrible.
That, and I think even, was it Jim Michaels or even somebody tweeted something along these lines, because I remember thinking, wow, he actually sort of agrees with me. I thought that it would be nice after so many years of pain and suffering and being alone and sacrifice that both of them finally got the peace they deserved or the reward they deserved somehow.
Well, what's the reward they deserve? They go off and have a normal life when we know that Dean doesn't really want that and Sam doesn't seem to have accepted that it's not going to happen, even if there's nothing left to fight. Like, if you can't really close the gates and do all of this, then it's never ending.
I feel like that would be the most depressing ending ever. Is like there's nothing left to fight and they have no purpose anymore. And so then like the show ends and you're growing a whole being lost. I don't know. I also like I really heavily rely on the lyrics to Carry On My Wayward Son for this because I'm like, well, it always to me depicted a death for them at the end. And like there's a reason they choose the songs that they choose and there's a reason that we've heard it from the beginning to, like, understand and be okay with the fact that, like, that is their place in this world, and they have to be.
I think the only way that the show can end and for Sam and Dean to actually find peace and resolution with their lives is for them to both be dead. So that
yeah, together.
It'll
only
be a comfort.
Yeah.
I guess I just don't want to see that. I just want to see them get to a better place. They've given up so much. And sometimes I think, well,
what are they going to do? How is there a better place?
How about they find out? How about they get the chance to find out? So it's like a criminal or a soldier, you know, just never being able to give up on war or committing a crime to get back into prison to know what they do. I've also thought that, okay, they both die at the end. They both make the final sacrifice. And the end of the show is them back in heaven, in their heaven with everyone they've lost before them. So, if I have to see them both die, that's what I want to see, that they do get that kind of reward as well. That is an option where they rejoin Mom and Dad and Bobby and Jess and everyone they've ever lost
and Adam.
Before.
Oh my God!
I don't think their version of heaven has Adam in it. I just don't. But
I don't either.
You know, I could be wrong.
I think that's a great ending. I think it's a little cheesy, but it's cheesy in the way that it's completely acceptable because you know the end is that they're together and you know maybe.
Yeah.
Cass is up there hanging out with them. That's cool.
There's no real option. Like, what would they do? Would they stop fighting and then buy a duplex so that they can still live next to each other?
God.
The only way they'll ever stop fighting is if they're dead for good. That's the only way they ever stop fighting.
And to be honest, the reason I've always had issues with them going off and trying to have romantic relationships is that I wouldn't wish Sam and Dean as a romantic long-term love interest on anybody. Yes, you are a very attractive man. Yes, you are very strong, and thank you for saving the world. But I don't wish them on my best, on my worst enemy. Like, I don't want you to have to live with crazy-ass Sam Winchester or crazy-ass Dean Winchester. That's not okay.
They come with a boxcar load of baggage, both of them, emotional baggage, both of them, you know.
No therapy in the world can help these two. No therapy
Dean's
in the world.
Dean's alcoholism alone would run you out of house and home.
Exactly. So there's just nothing you can do but die.
Or for an end of a series, maybe it won't end. Maybe it'll just stop.
I could also accept if they wanted to
really bookended in this way, I could accept them coming to a big finale kind of closure, such as closing the gates of hell, but understanding that ghosts would still exist and certain things that aren't hell creatures exist, and then, you know, having a mirror of we've got work to do, and the trunk slamming shut, and that being it. I can accept that as well.
I can see the last shot of the show being Dean driving Sam next to him, riding shotgun, rock and roll on the radio, onto the next case. It doesn't end, but we stop watching. We can't see it anymore, but they go on.
Yeah, I can accept either of those two endings. I can't accept them going, well, you know, we fixed the world. You want to go golfing?
I was going to say, want to go play golf? No.
No golf.
You know, mm-hmm. It's just going to work for me. It just didn't work for me. Now, what would be an interesting thing for them to do, and we haven't really talked about the character that much, actually, is, you know, if they die, they now have a network. Like, they have Garth, but they also have Castiel. And so...
Castiel's human now, though.
I feel like
the only closure for Castiel would be either for him to obviously get his grace back and go back to heaven permanently, or to die. Like, that's the only closure he has as well. I can't see him existing on the earthly plane as an ending to the character. I just don't.
On his own. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that he either has to die or go back to heaven.
How long do you think he'll stay human in season 9? Do you think, you know, or do you think he'll, you know, it'll be like a year long thing, his brain for.
I have a feeling it's going to be kind of like a first half of the season kind of thing.
Yeah.
We don't even know where
he is. I think
there's going
to be a lot of focus on that.
We don't even know where he is. He fell in the forest, and he's by a lake, and he's watching the angels fall. We don't know where Metatron sent him back to.
Because
we don't know if he doesn't have a phone. He's human.
He's going to have to find a payphone and call the boys for bus fare again.
I feel like at least you could see that journey with him. Like, we'll pick up with him wherever he is. And however long it takes to meet up again, I just don't want to see, you know, we saw him as Jimmy as a human, and he was very different from Castiel. I'm curious to see what he is now. Like, he doesn't revert to Jimmy, does he?
No.
I don't think he does.
I think he'll be very similar to how he was in season 5 when he was cut off from heaven, and he didn't have his powers.
Didn't Misha say that he remembers everything? I think he'll be Cass exactly as we know him, except he can't teleport and he doesn't have all his powers.
It's like toward the end of season 5 when he didn't have any of his powers. I mean, he was still trying to help.
Exactly.
He was wanting to body.
He's angry. He's going to be a lot of things, angry, resentful, emotional, depressed.
I wonder if he's going to be part of the Hunted as well, because now we have all these fallen angels. After what Castiel did in heaven, are these angels going to be looking for retribution now? Are they going to be like, well, we'll take you out? Because I wonder if the angel hierarchy will still exist even though they're fallen.
Can angels tell who another angel is? Because they've all fallen.
Yes.
Their grace is gone. Are they going to know the guy next to them?
They've been able to tell every single time we've seen an angel come up to somebody. They've been able to tell who they were. Like, for instance, say Gabriel and Lucifer in that episode where Gabriel died. You know, they saw each other. They knew they were brothers. And
weren't they still angels? True identity.
Yeah, they were still angels, right? They still had their graves. Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
About Lucifer, but...
well, maybe they
can have a grace in some way.
Maybe they recognize each other's
human-looking faces. Because the things that we saw falling from the sky, they looked like people whose wings were ripped off. So I assume that when we see them walking around, when they're walking around, they look human. That's why I think they don't need vessels. I think that that's the version of angels that we're always meant to see, which is angels who look human. Because when we see Naomi, she's not in a vessel.
Right.
That's Naomi.
Right.
So I think they'll recognize each other in as much as the ones who know each other's faces. So I think that in that respect, they'll know each other.
Well, that is just really interesting to me that, like, we were able to see her up in heaven, human, and yet we know that demons have to have vessels. Like, we know that when demons are in their regular form, they don't look like that. Like, the commentary on the fact that angels look like humans when they're in their regular form is interesting to me, and I don't know if it's meant to be something larger than just the fact that, like, they just have to hire actors rather than use special effects, but... kind of want it to mean more. Like, I kind of hope that that is a commentary on, like, the hierarchy and you know, the fact that, like, demons are the most twisted versions of this stuff, and that's why they look so different.
Well, if there's an appearance to an angel, a human appearance, why would they need a vessel? Like, why would Cass need Jimmy?
Why did Lucifer need Nick?
Between
a fallen angel, or I'm assuming that they're going to do this, and the fact that Cassiel had to find a vessel because his mere presence couldn't be contained or heard by humans, or he can't be seen by humans with his grace and path.
But what about Naomi and the other angels?
I mean, I would imagine there's different rules for, like, angels versus archangels too, but I don't know. I mean, I agree with Clarissa. Like, I felt like when they were falling, they looked like people, and that they would just stay that way when they landed. But I don't know what that means for the mythology they've already set up for the way that angels are.
Well, I think that's one of the things that Supernatural kind of dropped the ball in their own continuity and their own mythology. Is, okay, we couldn't see angels before, now... Angel, you know, Naomi and her crew just pop in wherever and everything's fine. And also, like, and I have huge issues with this, with how easily they all use the demon blade to kill. They all use Ruby's knife so easily to kill without any thought to the vessel.
Those are two things
as far as their own mythology that have bothered me more and more as time goes on. Yeah, and we talked about this on our podcast for a quick show, how it bothered us with curing a demon. Okay, that's great. You cured a demon. That's fantastic. And the human that you just banished from their body, essentially, how was that even remotely the right thing to
do? That was something I didn't understand either. I don't know. That I didn't get. And I don't know if they're ever going to explain it.
I think they sort of reached a point where they feel like those vessels, the ones that they had to kill, because, I mean, Sam and Dean had this argument back in season 4 when Dean was like, you can use the knife, and Sam was saying, no, but the knife kills the victim, and we can do this. I think that for them, that's an unfortunate but acceptable loss, and I know it's sucky to say that because they don't know these people, and so they shouldn't be the ones to really make that decision or accept that loss. But I think for them, they're saying, this is the only way. This is the only way to kill the demon.
Oh, yeah, but the point of, like, when the demon with... what I was confused about, anyway, was the demon within... I can't remember the character's name when they were doing the trial on the video, the Men of Letters video that they found. When they cured that demon and that person had their humanity back, they were ultimately the demon as a human, but the person inside that vessel is
gone.
Where are they?
Yeah, like, is the person gone, or is now that this good demon is living with the human in the same head? Like,
how
yeah,
are
we
doing
that? Because look at it from, like, characters we know, right? Like, if they were to cure Meg, Meg is a demon inhabiting somebody else's body. So what happened?
And I'll be...
Do they merge? Like, I don't get... I just don't get it. I don't
know
the answer. I mean...
Yeah, one of the things that always bothers me with Meg, even though she's quite literally one of my favorite characters, she's in my top five of the supernatural characters, but what really bothers me is Meg Masters was the actual blonde vessel we met. That was in the Aprox vessel, was Meg Masters.
Yeah.
And so if for instance, we have, you know, say Rachel Minor Meg somehow comes back, and they were to cure her, that girl, that vessel is not Meg Masters.
Oh, not at all. They just call her Meg because that's how they, like, know her.
Yeah, so we don't even know what Meg's real name is.
No, they just, I mean, what I mean is that they just were able to associate her with Meg because they didn't, they
yeah,
knew her, they didn't know she was a demon when they first met her. So it's, that's just, I feel like, an ease thing.
No,
but
mm-hmm. As far as demons like Meg, like the human, I mean, so much damage happened to Meg's vessel. It was healed because of the demon. Can you assume that, like, the first 17 times she was shot as the demon, the human died, the human soul died and went to heaven? Because it couldn't exist in that body anymore anyways. The only reason that body is still standing and walking around is because it has a demon inside of it.
No,
so
I think
in a lot
right.
of those cases,
that's what
the human is dead. And the human has gone to heaven or hell or wherever that human was going to go. The human is gone.
Yeah, it's like when Ruby...
Especially in those cases, with Crowley's case, like he's been shot and beheaded like so many times.
Yeah, but that's like that particular situation. Like, I can't imagine that everyone is the same.
No, but for those cases, I mean, it's a little easier.
Yeah, yeah, just because we've seen in the past, like, where the person is still in there and the demon can switch it on or switch it off.
Right.
But that's, like, demons who go in for 5, 10, 15 minutes, one episode. But for somebody like Meg or even Jimmy or when Ruby went inside Genevieve's body, essentially, those people, I assume, the only reason that they're walking is why you said they're because they have something supernatural inside of them.
That for everything. Like, I mean, with Ruby, she's dead because Sam wanted her to not take over an actual person. She said she found a body that was, you know, like,
right.
Anyway, but
I think that's
but most demons are like that type. They're not going to do that. They're just going to take whoever they want. So,
right,
I don't
but
know.
What ended up happening was Meg died, or, you know, the person that she was inhabiting, that soul went off to heaven. Just like I think at this point, Jimmy's got to be dead, right? Because his body
allowed him in. So I think that's different. I think with Castiel, it's different because he basically said, like, I'm giving this vessel to you and sacrificing myself. So, yeah, I'm sure his soul is fine. But, like, for the average person walking around and who a demon just comes in and stays, they're still in there. So unless they get shot or stabbed and there's a reason that they would die, which doesn't happen unless you run into the Winchesters. To say that, like, you cure, I just don't get it. Like, I get that they're still in there and that, you know, it just sucks to be them, but then what happens when you're attempting to cure these people? Where do they go if you're giving the vessel to the demon? Like, that's what bothers me about that.
Kills the soul.
And I feel like that idea goes directly against the saving people, hunting things. Who are you saving? You're saving absolutely no one, then.
Well, that's
you're
true. That's your point. You're saving select people.
They'll have a demon under a devil's trap tied to a chair. I've gotten all the information I need. Ruby knife to the chest. That was unnecessary. You could have exercised that.
Yeah, that's true.
There are some cases where that's good, but what was that episode from season 7 where they expelled the demon from that tie? What was the name of that episode? And the guy himself was evil the entire time. Repo Man, yeah. That episode still creeps me out so much. Like, there was an angel episode like that was like they expel a
the demon from a child, and the demon itself was like, thank you for getting me out of there. That child is evil. It's like, oh,
oh
my
yeah,
God.
That was a creepy episode. Mm-hmm. I remember that one.
So, I mean, maybe the demons choose these people sometimes.
Some of them,
yeah,
maybe, feel
better maybe about
the
it.
Demons are attracted to people who are inherently evil.
Maybe.
Maybe that's just one way that I feel better about it.
Sure.
I don't know. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You'll let me? Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, if that helps you, I don't...
I mean, because it's, I mean, that is the case sometimes. That guy was really horrible. And you can't think that that's, like, the only serial killer or psychopath that's ever been, you know, possessed by a demon in all the histories, you know, in 8 seasons of Supernatural. So maybe
yeah.
Sam and Dean have really done a lot more good than they even realized.
Actually, can I interject for a second? Because I actually have to go. I have a wedding tomorrow, and I have things I have to do, and I thought we were going to end at 10. But I've had a lot of fun talking with you guys because I've never actually heard Becky and Susan and Aaron's voices before. So this was a really good time, and I hope that we can do it again.
Yeah,
definitely.
Thank you for being on. It was a lot of fun. I was going to actually say that we have just a few minutes left of our live version on air. If we happen to go over 2 hours, we are recorded, but if anybody's listening live, it will stop in about 4.5 minutes. So while we're still live, I wanted to say thank you again to you guys for being on. Thank you to Clarissa from TV Overmind, Aaron from Wine Stained Life, and Danielle from PossibleByPopCulture.com. Check out everybody's websites, please. It's been an incredibly spirited conversation. We've had a lot of fun. And I hope we get to do it again. And I just want to say thank you live for you guys being on and to everybody listening. And we can keep talking the rest of it, or we can start to wrap up, because I honestly have a feeling we could go like all night. We've got like 7 more seasons to talk about. So
while we're live, I also want to mention our fundraiser for the American Red Cross in Central Oklahoma. For tornado relief for those in Oklahoma, you can go to our website, winchesterbros.com, and the link is there. We've also been tweeting it. For Supernatural Family, the family business is saving people, and so we're trying to help those who have been affected by the tornadoes in Oklahoma so far. Supernatural Family has raised $2,845. If you'd like to help and give some money, you can find the link through our Twitter or Facebook page or on our website.
Yeah, definitely. And also, it's very important to help the humans, but there are also lots of animals and pets affected by this as well. There are a couple of local shelters there. There's a site called lovemeow.com, and they did a little story on and had links to, like, the local chapter of the Oklahoma Humane Society was one, and there was a couple others, because there were many pets have been displaced or lost, people looking for their pets. Some unfortunately did not make it, but they have found many others and been tracking down owners, and definitely they need help too. Don't forget about the fur babies.
Are you guys doing auction for that by any chance?
We don't really have anything right now.
Oh, because I have a bunch of stuff that I was like, I don't know. I can send it to you if you want to, like, see if you want to use it. I don't I have a bunch of, like, books and stuff. They're not autographed, but if you want to take a look and use them for this or for a future thing.
That'd be great, yeah. Thank you.
Shoot me an email when you get a chance.
Definitely.
Okay. So, yeah, it'll keep recording us, but it's going to cut off any live listeners. So, technically, you all are free to go. You don't have to go.
Okay.
So I guess we're all really quiet now.
Yeah, it does
have
to
come back when we have to do that. Oh, I thought it was a thing where it says goodbye, but I guess not. Okay.
It'll just cut off.
Okay.
We haven't really talked about Benny much. Did y'all want to talk about what you thought about bringing on the character of Benny this season?
Well, I love Benny.
I love Benny desperately.
I mean, I kind of felt like that was how it had to end for him, because I felt like when we first met him, he already, like when Dean first pulled him back and he had to adjust to life, like, it was too different. And I feel like it's not going to end well. He's going to have to go back. But I'm glad that
especially after it didn't work with his great-great-great-granddaughter or whatever. That was weird.
I don't know. Because when I first started watching that episode, I was like, oh, clearly going to be a love interest. And then it was relation. And I was like, okay. But I'm glad that because they did that episode and, you know, disappointed Dean, I'm glad that they got to at least have some closure before he went back.
I just feel like my thing with Benny, and this is where I realized that, oh my God, I love Benny so much, was I was mad at Dean on Benny's behalf. Like, I was like, you're the worst friend ever. You don't deserve a friend like Benny. He got, like, I was so angry with Dean for Benny. And I'm like, oh, I don't really like you.
Because I think that Dean was just such a bad friend.
But he had said him, like, part ways.
But, you know, I feel like, you know, when Benny was struggling, I was just like, you know, can you just meet me for a cup of coffee? And he was like, yeah, pass. No, it's okay.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're not a good friend, but at the same time, like, I kind of didn't expect anything different. Because, A, he said to him, you know, like, this is it for us. And, B, like, he's back. He has his brother back. Like, he leaned on Benny in purgatory because he didn't have anyone. He never would have partnered up with him if he had any other options.
No, because they did end up partnering up, and the bond that they forged was, I don't know, I felt like it was such a strong bond, and I guess that they had to do an episode where Gene gave up his relationship and Sam gave up his relationship, no matter what the relationship, you know, what it actually entails. It's still an outside relationship. Whereas, you know, Sam and Dean kind of share Castiel, so it isn't really, it's not really an issue most of the time. They can't share Amelia and Rick. And so I feel like it's one of those things where, I had a lot of issues with it. I had a lot of issues with Dean in those moments.
I felt like he thought that because Sam gave up Amelia, that he, like, had to give up something, too. If they were going to go take this path together, if they were going to move forward together, and Sam was going to give up, you know, Amelia, then he felt like he had to give it up as well.
Like Dean giving up on Benny is also negligent on Dean's part, because if a vampire calls you and tells you, you know, I might be falling off the wagon, you should probably go meet up with your vampire and pop it down from the ledge. Because if not, you're going to have to kill him, and not for the reason to save your brother. He would have had to just kill him because he's back on the blood.
Yeah. I mean, that's his own issue, I think, because that's a lot put on someone regardless. Like, to say, like, you know, I mean, I'm not saying Benny would have constantly called him and been like, come help me, come help me, come help me, but it's a slippery slope, because the minute you drop everything once, you're probably going to have to do it again, because you're setting a precedent. And what that's really teaching everybody is that, like, Benny can't handle being back. He can't handle his vampire urges. You were wrong to bring him back. Maybe you should just kill him. And I'm glad that they didn't have to do that. Like, I'm glad that Dean never actually had to kill him.
That would have broken my heart.
Yeah. And it would have broken Dean, too. I think it would have, like, I mean, it might have actually given him some really emotional, some really interesting stuff this season. But at the same time, like, I don't know. We've seen him go dark before and really drive into his drinking and everything. And I think this would have just offset everything. Like, he would have spiraled so hard that nothing that they needed to accomplish would have gotten accomplished.
And I was glad that was part of Dean's story that I was glad was gone this season, too. Like, the spiraling and the anger and, like, I guess I'm doing this
because I've always done it. Or, you know, there was some season 7 episodes on TNT this morning. Like, one of the episodes was, what was it, right after Bobby dies, and Adventures in Babysitting, and at the very end, you know, and he's thinking back to what Frank says to him, like, just do it 1 week at a time, put a smile on your face, and
yeah.
And I'm glad that we got past that part for Dean, like, and Purgatory really, like, changed that for him, like, he was back in the fight,
me,
he was ready to do it.
I agree. I feel like, for me, Purgatory was, like, almost a really weird version of rehab for Dean. Like, it was, like, his, and he said, like, it was so pure, and, like, he got this clarity there, and I think that was able to pull him out of, like, just that really self-destructive spiral, and I don't necessarily mean, like, well, obviously his job is a self-destructive spiral, but just that alcoholic life, like, there's nothing kind of attitude he had.
He
still maintained because he was willing to be the one to take the trials, knowing, which I think is really strange, that, like, when he was going to take the trials, he understood that he was probably going to die. But, like, the idea of Sam dying was, like, this is brand new information. But whatever.
Hasn't that always been the case with Dean? He's always been willing to sacrifice himself, but never willing to sacrifice his brother.
Yeah.
It's always been the case.
But I think this time was more about, like, we will sacrifice. I don't know. The sacrifices felt different this time. And I do feel, I feel like there's a lot of growth for Dean this season. A lot of growth. And while it wasn't so much action-driven, especially in the second half, I really feel like it was very strong character growth.
Yeah, I think
he was 35 years old.
Everybody got quiet.
Hello. I missed what you were saying. Yeah.
Hello?
Are we losing
you? Oh, sorry.
Oh.
I do think that my phone is about to die, though, so if I cut out on you guys, I apologize.
I think that's that might be what's happening with me, too. I was like, something's weird.
Yeah, my phone was off the hook all day while I was at work, and then I could only plug it in for, like, 15 minutes when I got home, and so it could die any minute now.
Oh, that'll do it.
So we can start sort of wrapping things up. I mean, so we could talk all night, but if you want to start...
But I'm hungry.
we can do that.
Why don't we each mention what... You know, we've talked about the things that we didn't like about the episodes and things like that in the seasons. What about if we all mention what was our favorite part of the season?
Oh, that's hard.
You want me to narrow that down?
I mean, like, I know it sounded like we were bagging on it, but, like, there's a lot of good stuff to pick, like, one favorite thing.
I know exactly what mine would be besides
Sam Harris. I know
what it would be. The Men of Letters bunker. Bringing in the Men of Letters, I think, was awesome.
Oh, I would probably have to agree with that. That's been my favorite part of this season as well. And for everything that it means, like, what it could bring to, like, the future seasons as well. I think it was a huge plus, like, with great idea. It means a lot of good things for the future. And I loved them getting to have a home. Like, it was so emotional, that part of it. And for the first time in 30 years, I mean, geez Louise, it was great. That was definitely my favorite part. Absolutely.
I love that it's opening up all kinds of new storylines that they could use next season and beyond. And like you said, the fact that Sam and Dean now have a home, Dean has a room, which I love the scene where we got to see him fixing up his room a little bit. Hopefully we'll see Sam's room sometime in the future. And I just absolutely love to see them doing home things, like, you know, Dean cooking for Sam, Dean running, you know, walking around wearing the robe, you know, and stuff like that. I just love that. And that is that whole Men of Letters storyline in the bunker, and getting to meet, you know, Grandpa Winchester has just been my favorite things of the whole season.
Yeah.
And then
I
it's
feel
the
like
blood ties
the
to the bunker too. Not just something they happen to take over. They have it's family. It's blood ties to it.
It
and
would
I look
belong
at the bunker,
to them either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I like that sets up.
And,
like I'll say, like it wasn't my favorite thing in the season, but it's my favorite thing in terms of like what it could become. I don't know, you know, how deeply they'll dive into it, but I mean, like you said, like the fact that we got to meet someone from that side of the family and get to know more of that way of life,
mm-hmm.
and, like. Unlocked this thing that, like, Sam isn't really all that different from his family. He just didn't know that part of his family. Like, he didn't know what he was supposed to be.
Yeah, and there's something in the bunker for both Sam and Dean. There's all the books and the research, which appeals to Sam and gives him the tie to the bunker, and there are weapons and a
swords and a gun range.
And a gun range and a kitchen to cook, and those are all Dean things, and they're his tie there. So there's something about the place for both of them that means a lot and means something to them and is a comfort. So I love that. And the other thing I loved about this season is that the people that they met, they finally have more people in their life, more friends and not coworkers, not the word I want, but it's they have like almost
their
family members and friends and a network of support. Like Garth is still alive, Charlie's still alive. I'm not sure I'm willing to let go of Mama Tran just yet. We only have Crowley's word.
I think that could be a little fishy.
And there was a little bit more sense of hope this season than I've seen in a while. It wasn't so terribly, terribly dark all the time. So that those two things for me.
I feel like a really twisted person because as much as I like the Men of Letters thing, and I'm have this really bizarre obsession with Dean being like having his room and cooking and nesting and all that. But my actual favorite moment of this season was Crowley's monologue in Clip Show. That was absolutely.
Oh God, that was the scariest, most evil. I mean, holy. Crap.
It was that kind of evil, like the worst kind of evil is what's true.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of evil. It was just so
and to hit
good.
It the soul of the show like that.
Yeah. Like it just laid out the show in this way that just crushed you inside, and just the way they all played in that scene, you know, and at the end for Dean to throw the phone and the hex bag be in the phone. And the reason they couldn't save Sarah is because they kept listening to Crowley.
Mm.
If he would have thrown the phone sooner, if he would have just cut Crowley off, they could have saved her. But he listened to Crowley through that whole thing. And, oh, that was my absolute favorite moment. That was my favorite.
Yeah. See, I think for me it really was purgatory. Like, not just because it introduced us to Benny, but, like, stylistically, it was something completely different from everything we've seen before, you know? And so, like, it's this place that, just the friggin' woods, really, right? But, I mean, but they really made it with the way they shot it and the filters they used and just the, like, amped-up action. And it was grainy, but it wasn't, like, it still kind of looks crisp. Like, I don't really know how they do that, but just that whole, like, it really transported you to this other world, and it really made you understand why you'd come out of here so changed. Like, we never really got to see hell when Sam and Dean were there. So, yeah, obviously it's hell. We know they're going to come out changed, but we don't understand it the same way. And so I felt like letting us see purgatory and see as much of the experience there as they did really gave us a lot of, you know, insight into the characters as well as this, like, other world to explore.
Mm.
Yeah, it kind of blew me away at the beginning of the season. I was really impressed by it. And as much time as we, like, you know, they did a fair amount, you know, amount of minutes in purgatory. I still wanted more. And even after it was sort of, like, put to bed, after Castiel got out and everything like that, I was like, oh, but there's still a reason. Like, we'll still get more purgatory, right? Because
yeah,
I was really
in love
with it.
Yeah, they could have done
with purgatory flashbacks all season long, honestly.
Oh, 100% agree.
My phone is dying, so I do have to say goodbye as well. But thank you guys for having me. And I'll email you about some stuff. But hopefully we'll chat again soon.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
Do you all want to go?
All right, girls. Goodbye? I'm going to let you go too. Yeah. My phone just started beeping as well, telling me it's
okay.
Online. I had so much fun. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you
for joining us. We really appreciate it. We had a great time.
So much fun. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay.
I'll see you in
August.
You.
Oh, yeah. All right. Good night, girls.
Bye.
Thank you.
Before we end the show completely, we should mention that we're going to try and do podcasts during the summer, the hiatus. We're hopefully going to do, around at least two podcasts a month. We're going to go over the first and second seasons because our podcast started in the third season, so we never got to do a podcast for first and second season. So we'll be our next podcast. It won't be next weekend, maybe the weekend after. And we'll be starting with the pilot, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. We'll probably do, maybe a chunk of episodes, since we're only doing a few podcasts a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to get through both seasons, we'll probably do, maybe in, small arcs.
And we'll, we're even going to try and get some guests, for people who were in those episodes that we'll be talking about. We'll try and get them onto the show like we do with the normal podcast.
Mm-hmm. All sounds very cool. I think, it's summer. We can have some fun. Yeah. See how things go.
So make sure you keep watching for us, and we'll be tweeting them.
And thank you for everybody who
listened. Yep, Winchester Bros, Twitter, and Facebook. I will always have all the up-to-date news on our podcast and everything else going on over the summer, and I'm sure we'll start to be hearing things about Season 9 before you know it. So,
thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks to Clarissa, Danielle, and Aaron for joining us. We had a great time talking with everybody.
Yes, we did. Thank you so much for listening. And
good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank
you. Bye.
Bye.